Thank you for tuning in. This is Pucked in the Head. My name is Jason Carello. I'm here with Russell Arbuthnot, and we are sports fans with big mouths here on Civil Radio 101.7 FM, serving Abbotsford, Chilliwack, Mission, and many, many points in between. Welcome to Pucked in the Head. My name is Jason Carello. I am sitting in beautiful Beecher Park in Burnaby.
The tour to parks continues.
With Russell Arbuthnot.
That's me.
How you doing, buddy?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
I am doing very well, thank you. I have to say that you're looking very stylish, not only in your mirrored sunglasses, but in your rather scarred skin.
Yes, adding a little color to my ensemble.
Your leg is ripped to shreds, man.
Yeah, that's what happens when you decide to slide into second when the infill is lava rock.
So was it an all-weather field you were playing softball in or something?
No.
Just a regular diamond?
It's softball city.
So you knew what you were getting into when you went
I knew what I was getting into. Actually, I've been quite cautious before in the past and sort of, you know what, if it's an out, it's an out. But playoffs last week, got to go for it. Go big or go home.
And in this case, you did both.
I did. We went home. Yeah, we lost. By a large margin.
So it was totally worth it then.
Yeah, I probably should have maybe thought a little bit harder about that decision.
And now we're several days past the event at the time of this recording.
We're well over a week.
Well, over a week since you did this to yourself. And they're still visible dermis.
Man, it was like I was stuck to my bed sheets the following day.
Now, usually that would be a kind of comment, but this is...
The plasma was flowing.
Well, speaking of bodily fluids leaking out of things, shall we start by talking about the Vancouver Canucks' descent into, well, bodily fluids leaking all over the place?
Is that what it is? That's how you're going to characterize this?
That's how it seems to be.
Yes, let us descend.
The Vancouver Canucks have had a rather odd off season, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Well, you think about last season with the hiring of Willie Desjardins, Trevor Linden, and Jim Benning, and the slogan for the year was change is coming. And certainly that's quite a large degree of change. But so far to date, this off season has brought a tidal wave of change.
With the change is coming thing, when Trevor Linden came in, he brought in Desjardins, brought in Benning, and they got rid of Ryan Kessler's attitude. Mm-hmm. And they brought in Ryan Miller to solidify things in the crease a little bit after all the goaltending controversy.
Which did nothing but reignite it.
This year, we haven't really had much along the lines of things coming in so much as...
Not so much, yeah.
Who is left?
Yes.
So we've now traded away Eddie Lack for pretty much nothing.
Certainly to date, nothing.
Guillaume Brisebois, is that his name? The third round defenseman, a stay-at-home defenseman in the third round, and a seventh round pick next year.
Oh, is it next? I thought it was this season. Okay.
Who cares whether it's year or next year? It's a lottery at that point.
More than a lottery.
it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, exactly.
And we've gotten rid of Ryan Kessler for Nick Bonino. Mm-hmm. That is not an even trade.
Kevin Bieksa.
Now we've gotten rid of Kevin Bieksa. We've gotten rid of Eddie Lack. Mm-hmm. We've gotten rid of so many
previously regarded as core players.
And pretty much all we've gotten from any of these moves that is worth, like, you would actually want to go and see. Nobody's going to buy a ticket to go see Nick Bonino play.
No, certainly not. Right. Did anybody see a ticket to see Kevin Bieksa play, though?
A lot of the ladies like Mr. Bieksa. They like the juice.
Oh, they're going to love Mr. Prust.
We get rid of Zach Cassian, who had potential upside at 24 years old. Again, attitude. Mm-hmm. We get back a 31-year-old enforcer.
I think that I have absolutely no issue with that move personally. And I'll tell you why.
Why don't you tell me why? What do you like about Brendan Prust?
Zach Cassian, you have to believe, has been actively shopped by Jim Benning since perhaps not throughout his entire tenure so far, but certainly the latter stages of last season through the off season, I'm sure has been attempting to offload Cassian. Attitude wise, as you mentioned previously, certainly leaves a lot to be desired. Just from hearsay surrounding the team, there was no teams willing to take him on. And that could be evidenced by the fact that Jim Benning had to throw in an additional draft pick in order to have the Habs take Zach Cassian. And to me, the return for Prust at the deadline, and make no mistake, that's what he is. He's on the last year of his deal. He is trade bait at the trade deadline for a playoff team. The return for Prust at that point will be much more than what they could potentially get for Zach Cassian.
Now, I've got two comments about Zach Cassian. So first of all, I mean, everybody knows about his ability, what he has the ability to do. Mm-hmm. So that's not in question here. What's in question is his attitude and whether or not he's going to bring it to the rink mm-hmm. on a regular basis. He's like the, I wouldn't say equivalent of, because we don't really get Allen Iverson attitude in the NHL very yeah. often, but he's the guy who would say we're talking about practice.
Yeah.
And Linden and Benning want to create an atmosphere where everybody is working hard every
day.
Heard
the term character guy over and over and over again.
And he's not a character.
He's not a character guy, no. Well, and he's summed it up himself. And after he was traded, he said
it's all on
blank.
Me.
Yeah, well, he said deep down, I know I could have given more, and the Canucks knew that too. Well, do you want that guy on your team? I don't want that guy on my team.
But here's the thing. So far, we've heard a number of times from Jim Benning, a couple of times just in the last week, saying things like what he said about Eddie Lack. This was the best deal we were offered, so we took it. So rather than keeping the player because you weren't offered enough for him, you dealt a guy. And in Eddie Lack's case, he's exactly the character guy you want. He's a hardworking guy.
That's
he's good
point.
With the fans. He's good with social media. He's got a great attitude. His teammates love the guy. You offload Eddie Lack for a third rounder because, quote, that's the best deal we could get.
The other layer to that, though, Jason, is Benning obviously believes highly in Jacob Markstrom. And
then why'd they go out and sign Richard Bachman?
Because Markstrom played on the Comets last season and they need to replace Markstrom on the Comets. Bachman's not going to be in the Canucks lineup. Bachman's going to be in the AHL where Markstrom was this past season.
I'm simply saying if you're going to have depth at a position, that's a strength.
Yeah, but they're going to lose Markstrom. Markstrom would not be here right now if Lack was still here.
If you're going to weed out the position, get something for the players that you offload. It's ridiculous
The return for Lack was better than what he would have got for Markstrom. He's obviously chosen Markstrom to be the successor in net for Ryan Miller over Eddie Lack. So
you
at that point,
you can't
offload
have it both
that
ways.
Player. He obviously hasn't. That's what he's screwed up that deal, but he's got to get rid of him. If he keeps him, if he wants Markstrom in net, you have to clear that roster spot for Markstrom. So your hands are tied. You have no choice but to offload that, or else you lose the man that you want leading this team, at least in net for the near future, at the very least, if not longer.
I have yet to find a single hockey pundit who thinks that the Lack trade was a good move for Vancouver.
It's the only choice. As Benning said, the problem that hockey pundits have in this town, along with the fans, is the level of forethought that they have is about equivalent to that of a goldfish. The same thing with Prust. Everybody hates the Prust trade. If you take 2 seconds to process it and think about it, you recognize that the return for Prust at the trade deadline, which is exactly what this is going to garner a much better return than what they would have got for Cassian at the same time. They've made the decision to part ways with Cassian. He is not in their long-term plans, and Prust is not in their long-term plans either, but draft picks are, and draft picks are what Prust is going to get. Make no mistake, this is a rebuild. This is a full-blown rebuild, and they will not say it. And whether or not that is due to the potential hell that they may have to pay from ownership, because ownership is very hesitant to call it a rebuild and probably do not want a rebuild.
Well, speaking of not wanting to say rebuild, what do you think the discussions are right now between Trevor Linden and Willie Desjardins and guys like Henrik and Daniel Sedin and Ryan Miller and Alex Burrows.
To me, the unfortunate reality is I think Miller is here to stay. I would much rather see Henrik and Daniel be here, and I don't see them waiving their no trade. As I've heard mentioned on radio recently, to me, the only way that the Canucks get out from underneath the Sedins contracts are if they choose to retire, a la Marcus Naslund, who left a year at $4.5 million on the table, I think, when he retired from the Rangers. I don't see them waving a no trade or requesting a trade. And Ryan Miller, unfortunately, was Jim Benning's guy, and hopefully it's not, but to me it would sort of be a pride thing. I think Miller rides out the final 2 years here and then moves on from there when Markstrom has been deemed groomed to take over the starting job.
For a guy like Ryan Miller, he went to St. Louis because they were on the cusp of contending.
Until he arrived and blew it.
Then he came to Vancouver because he believed that they still had a core that could contend.
Do you think so?
I think so.
I think he came to Vancouver because nobody else is going to offer him $18 million over 3 years.
Why else would he come here when he has done pretty much everything you could ask a guy to do for largely bad teams throughout his career?
Like I said, I think it's $18 million over 3 years. I doubt he got anywhere near an offer that was close to that.
Speaking of $18 million, that's how much Brendan Saad is going to make in the next 3 years. And then in the next 3 years after that, mm-hmm. in Columbus, this guy's not a $6 million a year guy.
He's not, but you can't really compare it. But you look at Semin's contract, which was just bought out. I'm sure you're going to get more out of Saad than you will out of Semin's $9 million. Was he getting paid or seven?
Eight, five, or something like
whatever
that.
Whatever it was. The other thing too is that they're buying a few UFA years off of him too, which you have no choice. So if he performs well over the next two or three seasons, he'll be full value for the next three.
But Brendan Saad was a bottom six forward in Chicago. Now, mind you, they have a very deep forward core, which is amazing considering they've blown up the team twice and still won cups. But he's got a couple of cups, really good playoff performer. But is this, what is Columbus expecting him to do for $6 million a year?
I don't know. What their expectations are probably completely different from what the reality is. But you know, you take a look at contracts around the league, and realistically, that's probably one of the most questionable contracts that were signed during this free agency to date. We'll see what happens in the weeks upcoming, but I can't see it getting out of control now. They need someone to market there in Columbus, and maybe he's their guy. Again, it's probably not going to be next year, but he's still got plenty of room to grow, and he's got ample potential to grow into that guy. So he might be the face of the franchise in the next couple of seasons here. And if that turns out to be the case, $6 million it's a pretty good deal.
I suppose so. But when you've got a fair to middling guy as your top forward, this is not a team that is building for the future.
Columbus?
Like, yeah. I mean, what?
Well, how old is he? 22? 21?
Right, but you don't build around him. He's not the guy you build around.
No, but they've got some pieces there. They were a decent team last year. Foligno is a great forward. He's not going to be a lighted up top of the scoring race type guy, but
I just find the salary floor, salary cap structure that the NHL has really encourages these middling teams to take average players and overpay them to make sure that they get to the salary floor. Florida has been doing it for years.
Well, you look at the trades of, there was Mark Savard's contract from Boston was traded. Chris Pronger's contract from Philadelphia was traded, which is a farce, really. They're never going to play another game, but it's
Chris Pronger
those
was
teams
just,
looking
just announced to go in the Hockey Hall of Fame because
exactly.
It's been 3 years since he played.
But those contracts help those teams get to the floor, right? So the whole thing is, yeah, it is a little, it's out of whack. But the other issue you have is realistically a bunch of those teams probably shouldn't even exist in the first place.
I would like a piece of that action, actually. I'd like to get paid a couple of million just
to
be
hired by a company that that employs a floor on their salaries.
That has to get to the floor, yeah. And maybe Civil Radio could, toss us a few thousand dollars and we'll just stop recording the show altogether.
Yeah, Sure.
And we'll please just leave us alone.
Yeah.
Here's your check. Speaking of which, 2 days ago,
Phil Kessel.
Well, no, Alexei Yashin finally got off the Islanders' payroll.
So congratulations, Alexei Yashin.
Way to go, Alexei Yashin. You
received his final check.
Bastard. Phil Kessel traded to Pittsburgh. Now, I saw a tweet that said he's gone from being centered by Bozak to being centered by Sidney Crosby. That's like going from a bicycle with no chain to a fighter jet.
Mm-hmm.
Overnight.
Yeah.
Is he going to score 50 goals?
Gosh, for his sake, you'd hope so. He probably should.
Is he actually going to bring it to the rink? This comes back to our Cassian discussion. Is Kessel now going to bring it to the rink?
No. I think Kessel is what you will get at this point in his career. But that being said, I mean, he still scores 30-plus, occasionally 40-plus goals a season.
Which I don't think he's ever hit 40.
Pretty remarkable. Twice he's hit 40.
Has he hit 40?
Yeah, which is pretty remarkable, especially, again, you look at the teams that he's played on.
He is an incredibly talented guy.
I think he'll do well. I think he'll fit in really, really, really well in Pittsburgh. The media spotlight is not going to be anywhere near what it is in Toronto or a Canadian market, for that matter. And he's going to be sheltered by Sidney Crosby and Marc-Andre Fleury and the other incumbents that they have there. I think he'll be fine.
My problem with this deal, Pittsburgh has had problems in the past couple of years with Evgeny Malkin underperforming.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a continuing theme of guys not bringing their A game to the rink on a consistent basis. I just don't know if Phil Kessel is the answer to their problems.
But that's what I'm saying, is Kessel's never brought his A game to the rink. I would have to think that Pittsburgh knows what they're getting into. I wouldn't expect him to change, but that being said, he's still an effective player and an elite talent. I mean, I don't think they're too concerned about whether or not he's going to turn his attitude around or his bring his A game, as you say. I don't think that's a concern. I don't think they care, really. If he goes in there and scores his 30 to 40 goals a year, I think they're fine with that. The problem with Phil Kessel is he's not a leader of your team, which you and I have discussed on this show before.
Well, Pittsburgh's not a team that really needs a leader.
Exactly. That's what I mean. So to thrust him in that position, you know, like Toronto tried to do, him and Dion Phaneuf, he's miscast as that type of player. So, again, he's going to be sheltered, and I think he'll fit in well as sort of I don't know if you call it a secondary scoring role, but it's still going to be a top line guy, but, a guy who doesn't necessarily have any of that responsibility away from the rink and away from the actual ice surface.
And nobody's going to be upset if he doesn't go to the media, because everyone wants to talk to Crosby anyway.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have in honor of Phil Kessel. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a little bit of one of my favorite snarky songs, Three Dressed Up as a Nine.
Perfect. don't know. Well, yeah.
But is this,
you know, they need, gosh, I don't know.
But is this,
you know, they need, gosh, then again, you look, you can't really compare it, but you look at,
I half expect to see some 8-year-old turning around with his arms outstretched, yelling at his mom and dad, "Are you not entertained?"